Well, I want to welcome everybody again. Our online listeners, thanks so much from wherever you are joining in. When the time feels good for you to come in, please, you're all welcome to come to church. We got a pretty good crowd out here today, and I thank you for showing up. And I think we got a good word. We got a great word today. But I want to thank my online family and friends, and also that, you know, Pastor Josh is on a little family R&R for a couple of weekends. And so, you know, he's just really an amazing pastor. And I'm going to say something about him in a minute. But one thing that he does is when he's doing the announcements and he mentions the well, and he always says, "Hey, Mark, where's Mark Gershick? Raise your hand." So for our online viewers today, this is the hand. Okay, that's the hand. All right, so I know it's been a mystery of the church, but that's the hand that does it. I've been a member of this church family for about 13 and a half years, and we've been doing the Wells Men's Ministry for almost 11, it'll be in August. That's a lot of Saturdays. It's a lot of men growing and cherishing the good word. And just want to mention that to you that, you know, I do it because I love the Lord, but I love you guys. And I have a tremendously deep, passionate place in my heart for the Lord, but really for you guys and those that are listening. And even though there's many I haven't had a conversation with or know personally, I do love you. That's the love of the Father, and we're family. And so today, I just want you to know that you're loved completely. But anyway, we have a very loving, gracious, brilliant pastor, Josh, who's just an amazing teacher. So when I get a chance to share my word, and usually it's maybe a midweek or the men's ministry or some outreach, but to get up here and share the good news with you guys, it's really exciting. It's really humbling. It's really touching to me. And to know that I'm trusted by our senior pastor to give a good word, a rightly divided word, and a word that represents the kingdom and Pastor Josh. So Pastor Josh, if you're not in a boat or fishing right now and you're watching, please, I just hope you enjoy this message and you're pleased with it for your congregation. I believe the Holy Spirit's given me something to impart to you today. I want to do a little quick commercial just on the well for a minute now that I'm up here, because I know there's a lot of men who have never come to the well, the men's ministry. I know it's hard. It's Saturday mornings. We've been online for a year. We're coming back after 4th of July to the campus. So I want to encourage you, men out there, all ages, please feel free to join. Just older guys, we really want to share some wisdom with you and help make your knots straight in life the best way we can help you. And when some of our senior members are able to come back in person, that'll be great, because, you know, like Ray Wong and some of the others, they've really imparted tremendous encouragement to all of us. But it's a great place. We really love to do it. I can assure you everybody there is a passionate Christ follower. And whether you've been walking with the Lord for 10 minutes or 100 years, man, it's a starting point to share and keep building and bonding. So I just want to kind of jump over there. A little quick moment on how I came about this teaching, because I think it was inspired. The band probably just remember, but I weekly pray over the worship band and over the congregation and really do everything I can to help cleanse this place, cleanse the minds of the worship band and get do what I can so the Holy Spirit can be powerful. He's already present, but we want to be aware of him. And I'll pray over those things. Then I pray with the worship band. And I got a word when I was praying with them about 4 or 5 weeks ago, but it didn't resonate. It just said the church is ready. And I thought, okay, maybe the church, something's going to happen today in here. Because sometimes I get a prophetic word, something happens, I go, wow. But it stayed on my heart. What does that mean? And then Pastor Josh calls me and says, "Hey, Mark, I'm going to be away. Would you like to preach for me and cover?" And of course, I joyously said yes. He says, "Any ideas?" And I thought about it. I don't know if it was spontaneous or right after. I said, "Yes, the church is ready. I was given a word about a month ago, and I'm going to pray about it so the Lord can unpack it to me, and then I can impart it through you. So this came that way. So I've been praying that this word would dig into your spirit, that it would press down, shake you up, overflow over you, that your position with your salvation would be enlightened, and you'd be encouraged, and that a new flame would be lit. So this message is for everybody that either is feeling a calling of the Lord, is resting in the Lord, got a little comfortable, stepped back. It doesn't make any difference. So I'm going to just pray over this to get started. Let me grab a quick drink. So, Father, Lord, I just put this out there to you and over the kingdom, Father, the family of the church, Lord, specifically right now, to anyone that they might impart any parts of this good word, Lord. They would be changed. They'd be encouraged. They'd be moving forward. They'd no longer be stepping back, that they would get out of their grave, Lord, and come forward on behalf to you, Lord, because you have, it's already done. You've done it all. It's finished, as the song we sang said. So I just put my teaching out there, Lord, that you would anoint it and bless it in Jesus' mighty name. Well, anyway, I got a lot to say today, so I'm going to try and get through it. But I've got a lot, so I'm going to do it the way a chicken lays an egg in the middle of the road. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen that done. I've never seen it done, so it might just be a thought. But the way you lay an egg in the middle of the road is you do it really fast, and you lay it on the line, and that's what's going to happen today. I'm going to put it on the line. We're going to do it really quick. There will be a few spots I'm going to be a little slower so we really get the concepts. But I think if you get the concept, then the quick-moving scriptures and things are just going to go yes, 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 and amen. So, but seriously, my prayer for you guys today, really in this message, is that I know I use the chicken analogy, but my prayer is that it would break the yokes of the chains and the things that are keeping you captive from living an authentic, spirit-filled life. The enemy wants to avoid you having a spirit-filled life. And I claim in the name of Jesus, those yokes are going to be broken today. Hallelujah. So are you ready? No, I mean, are you really ready? Okay. That's an important question for today's teaching. Okay. So let's talk about what the church is, because there's all kinds of definitions of what the church is or a church is. But let's just look. We got a local church like this. We got groups of churches. Churches have multiple locations. Organizations that are filled with different churches, different denominations, non-denominational, all the churches in the U.S., international churches, in-person churches, online churches, the church as a whole worldwide. Every believer globally is the church. We may not agree, but we're going to talk about that. And keep in mind, I did use the word believer that makes the church. Street ministers, marketplace ministries, your job. I have a guy that used to come to the well when he was in town for some months. He moved back to Texas, and he was a preacher, and he is an Uber driver. And that's his ministry. He's got an Uber ministry, and he shares a lot of great stories. So it could be anywhere you want. The word tells us that the body is the temple of God, and that the Holy Spirit dwells within you. So the church is wherever you go. No matter what form of church, no matter what you're thinking about, we can probably all agree on at least that point. But that's not what I'm referring to today. I'm not talking about the precepts that we have of church today. I'm talking about an additional perspective, another one to think about, something that perhaps was really what God did to have a church. And we're going to look at that. And I'm referring to something that's not in the physical world, but it does manifest in the physical world. So we're talking about church without walls, church without borders. Okay, now I'm going to say this, and I'll probably say it a couple of times just to kind of follow, but when I go through the teaching, you'll totally get it. Okay, the church I'm referring to is the readiness of God's redemptive plan that was activated at the cross. Now, when I say activated the cross, I'm referring to the cross and the resurrection. I'm just combining that. So when I refer to the cross, it's everything that happened because of, at the cross. Okay, so I don't have to expand on that every time. But it's the readiness of God's redemptive plan that was activated. It became activated at the cross. God was ready. The preparation of his redemptive plans was initiated in the garden with the fall. Now, he probably had, knowing God, I'm sure he had this plan before the fall. But the point is that in the fall in the garden is where it was started for man, and it was completed at the cross. So this is the church that we're talking about. God's redemptive plan for mankind. Okay? So it's not a physical place. It's the complete plan. So what happened is that God seals his total readiness at the cross with the death of his son, the resurrection. You know, God makes covenants with us. God had a plan. He never changes, never goes back on his word. It doesn't vary. So when God made the church, it was his complete redemptive plan for mankind, not about where they congregate, how many they congregate. It's about God was ready. He was ready. The plan was done. It needed nothing else. In Jesus' final words, he said, "It is finished," in John 19:30. So when Jesus had received the sour wine, he said, "It is finished," and bowing his head, he did what? He gave. See, in the same way God gave him to us, Jesus gave up his spirit, which is very important. What happens to that spirit? Where'd it go? But he gave his son and his Holy Spirit and gave the Holy Spirit. So when he gave his son and the son, Jesus released his spirit, it is finished. My word that God gave me is he released the completion of his church. Amen. Is that word? You guys following me? Are you tracking? Okay. So this is the church that we're really talking about. It was complete. The church was ready. And I want to ask you, are you ready? Are you ready for this? It's okay if you say yes. Okay. Yes, yes. Okay, we're gonna have some interaction as we go. All right, so God's will for Jesus was accomplished by his perfected obedience to the Father. In John 5:30, and I don't think I gave them the scripture, but most importantly, he says, the power of sin and Satan was finished. No longer would mankind have to suffer the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, it doesn't mean the battle's over. It means no longer will we lose to the flaming arrows. No longer does he have authority over us. When the church was made, that authority was given to us. We're going to talk about some of the ways that happened. So Jesus was the finished work on the cross and the beginning of new life for all who were once dead in their trespasses, but who are now made alive in Christ. When you receive the Lord, you're made alive in Christ. I'm going to save as I connect these dots. I don't want too far ahead of myself. But everything is needed. Everything that was needed to overcome the evils of the world has been completed. This is a very important perspective that we have to really get. And that's why when Lucy found that song, I was just chilled and teary-eyed, that really speaks to this message. So just to follow me, so we understand, because of the cross, we can now be made complete as believers who become members in Christ. The citizenship gets grafted into you. Access to the things of heaven on earth you now have. The church is complete, but we were not complete. And those who don't believe in Jesus and have in their heart and confess, they are not complete yet. They're not a member of the complete church that Jesus and the Father had established for us. So part of my word today is going to be to take a little examination. Let's see where you are. See, the church is the heart and the will of God for you. It's not for him. This is all about free will, freedom to choose the Lord, freedom to love the Lord. Nobody just make you love. Come on, we've all been in relationships where maybe somebody wanted us to say I love you and we didn't want to say it, but maybe we did anyway, right? Okay, maybe you were had enough willpower to hold back. But that's not the kind of relationship God wants. God does not want a relationship that isn't as true to him as he is true to you. Amen to that, right? So it's important that we understand that to be in the church, you have to be in with Christ. He needs to abide in you, and that's how we become a member. It's not by signing a membership form, right, or committing to a monthly tithe at your church. This is the problem with a lot of churches. They're not spirit-filled, and they call themselves Christian, but are they really in Christ? There's one way to be in, and I pray that all of you are, and I believe that most or all of you are. The church is now complete. God did what he's supposed to. Just like we say, God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The church was perfected yesterday at the cross. It was complete. It was complete the last 2,000 years. He didn't have to add anything or do anything, and it's still going to be ready even if the rapture or whatever your belief on end times is, doesn't come for another 10,000 years. It's not going to change. God's not going to change his mind. He's not going to change his will for you, and he certainly isn't going to change how he loves you. And that's a good word. The church will continue to be ready until Jesus reigns. So all the redemptive plans he has for you and me were activated at that moment. Can't get any more activation. But we're going to talk about how do we live in that activation a little bit. But the church is ready for you. Are you ready?
Yes.
That's the question. Are you ready for the church? Okay, let's look at John 14, 15. And I'll start it. Okay. If you love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide in you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him or knows him. For he dwells with you and will be in you. Again, we're clarifying. You don't get the finished work of Christ if you haven't received the Holy Spirit. You can't receive the Holy Spirit if you don't accept Jesus as your Savior. And really believe it. It's a pretty easy step. There's no back door, no squeaking in, you know, no somebody watching the front door, you go in the back and you're in. You're in because of the acceptance of Jesus, and God knows. John 16, 7 and 8. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and righteousness and judgment. He takes care of it. We don't. The only way we don't have to deal with being unrighteous, others, we don't have to judge. It's not. These are things that are taken. It's not a freedom of mankind. It's an assumption that mankind makes to judge and do these things. But the Lord takes care of that. He takes care of it. By receiving the Holy Spirit, God completes the readiness of the church. The church is ready. John 14, 12. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Now, this is one of my, I guess it depends on what I'm preaching. I got a favorite one for everyone. But this, I use this scripture so frequently because of the power that's in that. You see, Jesus, when he was with the disciples, said, these things you've seen me do. Pick up your mat and walk. A couple loaves, a couple fish, thousands. He's healed. He rose people from the dead. He supernaturally went from being in a boat to land. Boom. I can go on and on with Bible stories. But the thing here is that Jesus said, the things you've seen me do. What does that mean? That means Jesus did them as an example for us. He didn't do the work for us. He did an example for us. And he says, hey, but when I send the Holy Spirit, guess what, guys? You're going to do it too. You can do that. All that power, all that authority, once you receive the Holy Spirit in you, is going to allow you to do the things you've seen me do. Now, Jesus' only ministry was only about 3 years old. Right? He was only on the move for a few years. So I believe what Jesus was talking about when he says greater things, he wasn't saying you're going to do things that are greater than me. Now, I don't know what's greater than, you know, raise somebody from the dead, but, you know, maybe raise them from the dead and make them twins. I don't know, okay? But I know this, that the things Jesus did were intended for us to do them. Just like many of you are fathers, mothers, you teach your children how to do the things that you feel are really important, whether it be a trade or it be integrity. It'd be, you know, you teach them up in their ways so that when they become adults, they'll have some kind of understanding. Well, that's what Jesus was doing. He only had a little while to teach these disciples and the people around him, you know, how to man up, how to be an adult. So he's giving them the power and the authority. Remember, it's not their power, it's the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we could do the things that Jesus does. And when we doubt it, we're diminishing our power. Now, does it mean that every time, you know, you see an accident by the side of the road and somebody was killed on the road, that you can raise them from the dead? Maybe not that time, but maybe another time. But I do know that I've seen miracle healings, been a part of miracle healings. I've seen prayers answered, marriages restored, including my own, by the word of God and by believing that the Holy Spirit that Jesus sent to me allowed us together to be restored. So the greater than him doesn't mean that we're doing bigger and better. It just means we're doing more. You know, we've got 2,000 years of lots of saints over all those years out doing these things, and people are getting raised from the dead right now. People are getting healed. We've had miracle healings in this church. We've had testimonies in these right here. We got some in the second row here. But it's the truth. The only way we could accomplish these greater things were by utilizing the Holy Spirit. No other way. We have to use the Holy Spirit. You got to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit. We'll do another teaching just on that sometime, I hope. But again, I just want to say that everything is for us, and it's made complete at the moment of the cross when he said it is finished. We're not looking for God to change his plan, his secret formula. We just need to enter into what he already has done. So again, the church was made complete and completely ready. Are you? Are you in relationship with the Holy Spirit? God intended us to exponentially continue to reflect the life of Jesus. That's what he wants from us. He wants us to, the greater is for us to go out to the world and have more opportunities to affect others by having them see Jesus in us. This was his promise. When God makes a promise, he always keeps it. The church is ready, man. So I just want to give an amen to that because I think that's a profound revelation. But we have everything. But I want to talk a little bit about salvation life because is there anybody in the room here that's not alive? Good. I didn't want to hear the... Okay. My point being is that if it says here, it says John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, so whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Okay. Let me just get wind back so I get my thought back on. Oh, yeah, okay. So that's salvation, the everlasting life. But it's way bigger than that. Because if God only intended for us to say, oh, I love you, God, I believe in my heart that you died and rose for again to new life for my sins, Father. I confess and I say with my mouth, I'm saved. How come I didn't all of a sudden vanish and go to heaven? Because we still have a body life. We still have a salvation life. We got to work it out. So he's put all these things. That's why he gave us these powers and the authorities and the gifts and all kinds of things. Because we're still here on earth and we got to work it out. We don't get instantly zapped into heaven. We don't get to escape this world. We get the tools to overcome the world. We get the tools to handle life and do it more abundantly. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled him to us through Jesus Christ and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. I'm just going to take a short minute on some of these topics because I'm just making points here. But we are the ministry of his reconciliation. He has reconciled us. He has washed away our sins. He's changed us. He's put us in a new, we still have the body, but he's given us a new spirit. And he wants to work through us. So this ministry, what we do, when we go out, how we act, how we behave, how sincere, how authentic we are, these are all parts of how we respond in that ministry of reconciliation. We're made new, we have new assignments, we've been reconciled by Christ, and everything is new. That's good news, right? Amen. Okay, so we have this new life, an eternal life, for our soul and our spirit. You see, until the day the Lord takes us home to be with him, we are now made new and we're given new assignments. That we are to model the attributes of Jesus, giving hope, sharing the good news, the love of Jesus to our family and our friends, to everyone in the world. We have a new assignment because we've been given this newness of life. And we need to step up to it. Now, many people have. We get hot, cold, different things. But I want this message today to encourage you that you can go forward. This little, okay, 2 Peter 1:1-3. Simon Peter, a bondservant of the apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus. Talking about believers. All the benefits of the kingdom are for the believer. And he says in 3, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given us to us all things that pertain to life, godliness, through the knowledge of him and who called us by the glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. Okay? These are the Bible's full of the promises of God. And it talks about here, see, they're precious, but they're of his divine nature. You will not understand his divine nature. You can know about God, but you're not in relation. You don't know him if you're not. This is a key building block. The church, again, has given you everything that you need. The church is ready. Romans 12:2. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. This is an assignment. We already know we get the mind of Christ. We get our minds and hearts have been opened, but what are we going to do with it? Well, you have to invest in the continually renewing your mind so that you can operate in the perfected will of God. That's where you're going to see a lot of joy. Every step you go up, you enjoy more. But we have to empty ourselves out. That's the key thing here. Make room for the thoughts and the attributes of Christ. Trust me, wherever you are in your journey, the journey has just begun. Think about being in a small boat in the ocean. You know, the horizon may be far, and maybe you've been out there a month or 10 years. And it's not a hopeless example I'm giving you. I'm giving you an example that the mind and the will and the knowledge of God is so vast and so ever-ending that I'm convinced that's why we need eternity with him. Because even in our renewed mind, we're not going to be able to grasp how great God is. It's going to take us eternity to do that. But don't be confused about your starting point. It's where you are right now. You don't have to go back to when you were, you know, really on fire once before. You start now. We have to empty out our stinking thinking, right? There's a higher way of thinking. See, our minds are renewed when we understand the better ways of God. But we have to allow him to renew our mind. We have to allow him to fill us up. I have a saying, it's your attitude with God determines your altitude with God. Is that a good word? Man, when you look up to the one who holds you up, man, you're held up. Your attitude toward God determines your altitude. I want to be flying high with him. So the higher up your thoughts, remember, he's the one that holds you up. You need to rise up to Christ. How you walk with the Lord is a determining factor. The power and authority that God gave us, gifted us. When you have a close, intimate relationship with the Lord, you know in your heart what his promises are. If you don't spend time in the Word or the will of God and trying to grow or learn, whether it's showing up at church, reading on your own, a Bible group, a study group, the well, whatever you're doing, being in social media groups that are strictly Bible-based and authentic, right? The power, you have to know in your heart what God's promises are. It's really a crime when we don't understand the things of God. And you're not going to learn it all. It takes a lifetime to do that. But your journey has moved you from one level of understanding to another higher level of revelation and relationship. So you might say, gee, you know, I've been to church in 5 years. It doesn't matter. Your starting point is right now. Wherever you are, maybe you used to have a revelatory level, you know, a little higher, maybe you're a little lower now because you stepped away or you've let things of the world get in the way, troubles, different things. But you can start right now at a new level and start to understand the promises of God. Your faith and your belief strengthen your authority. You have to have authority over these things, but you have to understand it. Luke 9:23. Then he said to them all, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever desires to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will save it." Now, this can be confusing. Do I have to die? Yeah, well, you're all going to die. That's true. But that's not the death we're talking about. We're giving up the man nature that Satan has established in you for your whole lifetime. We need to give that up so that we can have our salvation life, which is how we roll it out until we go. Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." I know you guys hear that, but man, you got to say it. You got to profess it. You got to claim it. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can in every little time, difficult time. There's power in the name of Jesus. You see, as we renew our minds, we take on the attributes of Jesus. John 14:12. "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me," I mentioned this before, right? "That the works I do, he will also do even greater things." But so I wanted to reiterate that because that should be your starting point. Be reminded that I can do all those things. It's good if you say, hey, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. But let's get an understanding. The reason you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you is because he sent the Holy Spirit for you as your helper. You have a part of the Trinity, the Heavenly Father, the soul, to talk with and comfort you. You have Jesus, but you have the great gift of having the Holy Spirit in you. And that's how you do it. That's how you accomplish great things. So God knew what he was doing. He gave you all the tools. The church was ready. That's for sure. So the life we lead can be fully equipped. Building up others, be an encourager, be a life example. I like this one, Acts 14:13. "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated, untrained men, they marveled and they realized that they had been with Jesus. There was something different about these two people, that they knew that they had been with Jesus. They weren't biblical scholars, Pharisees. They were just modeling Jesus. Something was happening. Something was changing in their lives. And I want to encourage you that if you start a building and the promises of God, and as you change more, and a lot of you already have, I mean, you can go back and tell your testimonies and your stories of where you were, what stink and think you used to have. I'm always sometimes a little regretful about the way I used to think, and then I have to surrender that to God. But I want other people to know that I've been with Jesus. Now, I don't mean it and that I want to be boastful about it, but I've noticed in my own life and others that I feel are good examples that people just come to us. Somehow we're a Christ, Jesus magnet, you know, and they'll come to us and they'll just start sharing their heart. Last week we were up in a little place in Oxnard at the marina there, just hanging out. We're sitting on a bench and said, no, let's go sit at this table because the restaurants were closing down. And this young man, probably about 16, cleaning the tables and all that, comes over to us and says, hey, I heard your conversation. I was listening. Would you pray for my friend? She had a friend that was his age, diagnosed with cancer. And he was bold. He was a believer. He heard us. He came to us. That's the kind of, I want to be somebody to realize that I've been with Jesus. So we prayed for this young man and his friend. And then one of the girls with us, she just like right on fire for him and shared her overcoming cancer with this guy in a prayerful, powerful way in the love of Jesus that did it for her. She had a miraculous recovery. She imparted those words to him. And so when we were done, we're talking about this was really, you know, really great that this young man would do that. And she says, you know, it happens to me all the time. People just come over, you expect it. It just happens. Why? Because she's the face of Jesus. Because she's a good ambassador for Christ. It's an invisible thing that draws people who maybe need some love and some prayer to you. But we have to be passionate Christ followers. And we want to be viewed. It's not really an opinion. We just, the magnet, it happens. It happens. But we need to empty ourselves out, learn the promises of God. We need to be in the relationship with the Helper, a live, active relationship, talking and walking with the Holy Spirit. And we need to discover our spiritual gifts. And the things of the Spirit get revealed to us by the Spirit. I'm just going to... I'll probably skip this one because it'll take time. But the main thing, going back a little bit to when you accepted the Lord, just want to remind you guys that when you accept the Lord in your heart, you are instantaneously in the family. You are instantaneously given the Holy Spirit. And you're given the supernatural newness about you, but you got to learn about it. You know, it's kind of like a supercomputer. You know, you have an old PC or something, you've used it for years, and then you say, I'm going to buy myself a big old Mac unit or something. And let me tell you, it can do amazing things. The new ones, the operating system is new, they think differently, and I just got a new laptop. I didn't go that extent, but I bought it, just a new small laptop. I got it, and it's got a fingerprint button to turn it on and no instructions. I'm like, great, how do I even turn it on? So I finally figured that out, got it on, and now I need to upload it, start getting it and getting it ready to use. And I didn't know what to do. So what does somebody do? What do we do when we can't figure out the new computer or an issue? What's that? A manual? No, you ask your teenager. Yes, you know, so I go down to Victoria, who's little, she's 24, and man, she fixed me right up, she loaded me up, she got me going, and the reason that she could do this was because she had a lot more time on the computer. Me, I'm just working, I'm doing my projects, whatever I do, you know, between streaming and gaming and building computers. So she has 1,000 times more in it. So she has a knowledge about that operating system I don't have. That's why we need to spend time with the Lord. We need to understand his new operating system. And if you're stuck in the old one and you haven't moved forward and learned what's in that, what are these apps, what do they do? And then the better you get more revealed. And I'm telling you, that's a word to encourage you in getting close to the Lord, because he's beyond any supercomputer. He's beyond any apps. But I can tell you this, he definitely has an app for you. He definitely has one. Ephesians 6:12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts and wickednesses in heavenly places. So what do we do about that? That's our enemy. That's what we're fighting at. That's the spiritual battle in the invisible world. 13. Take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done so, stand. I'm not going to go through all the stuff, but you know, we put on our helmet of salvation, our breastplate of righteousness, our belt of truth, our sandals of peace, our shield of faith that repels all the fiery darts, the sword of God, the word of God is sharper than any other two-edged sword, and we can be engaged in the secret language of with the Lord, which is speaking in tongues. We have all the power in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's how we take on the enemy. There was a point where Satan tried to tempt Jesus, took him up to a high top of a mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. He said, you can have authority over all these, but you have to worship me in exchange. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. When your stuff comes your way and you've got problems, you know what you get to do? Get behind me, Satan. There is nothing that Satan can do or say that's any greater than God. And you have the word of God because you got the Holy Spirit in you that's ready there to help you take on the enemy in every way. You can say, boldly say, Satan, the curse is reversed. Nothing can come against me. Nothing you have is greater than what I have. Hallelujah. I'm going to skip a few things. Just I feel like the Spirit's making its point well. And I don't need to overdo with extra scriptures. Let's jump a couple to 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God are yes, in him are yes, and in him are amen to the glory of God through us. We can say yes and amen. See, because we can believe in that. We can believe in when we take authority, Satan, get behind me. That's a yes and amen moment. I think we can say yes and amen. You guys on board for that? Yes and amen. Hallelujah. See, the church is ready. Totally ready. There's nothing it needs. Are you? That's the question. Are you ready? Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be witness to me in Jerusalem and to all Judea and Samaria and to all ends of the world. You know, you weren't just given all this power and authority to do nothing with it. It's to take it out, to do the assignment, to finish the work that Jesus was working on. I'm not going to get too much into being baptized in the Spirit, but if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit and you're speaking in tongues, use it. Use it. If you're not, let's talk about it. It's a really important part of our power, of our walking. And God gives us revelations through that. Give a quick one. In 1 Corinthians 14:20, he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God, for no one understands him. However, in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. The enemy cannot understand when you're talking in tongues to God. It's a secret language, a secret heavenly language, and I would love the opportunity, those of you that might not have been baptized in the Spirit, to share that with you. Pastor Josh, I know, would. But let me just tell you there that there's lots of power gifts that start being developed in you when you're active in the Holy Spirit. Wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, healings, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretations of tongues. That's a lot of power and authority. That's a lot of understanding of God flowing through you. But I'm just going to give you a kind of a closing example here. I want you to picture a treasure chest, okay? You have a treasure chest that has everything in it that you'll ever need for a powerful salvation life. Healing, prosperity, authority, prophecy, working of miracles, power gifts. Everything you need is already there in that treasure chest. In that treasure chest, you can reach in and get the tools and the Word of God to overcome anything you can imagine. Anxiety, depression, addictions, loneliness. You can restore anything that's broken in relationships. Everything you need for life and godliness is in that treasure chest. Anything you can imagine. And it's never going to run out. There's unlimited tools, unlimited weapons, gifts, the fruits of the Spirit. You name it. If God said it, it's for you. It's not against you. And it's in the treasure chest. And you get to take it with you. Somebody's going to get something here. All right. You already have it. So imagine you have everything for anything. And if you don't know that, then when a tough time comes, you're not going to know what to do with it. You have to know the Word of God and the promises of God so you understand what's in your treasure chest. Now, it's okay to go into that treasure chest and go, Lord, I don't even know what's in there, but I'm having this problem. Give me something. Give me, right? You will be led to the right scriptures and to the right place. And but we have that treasure chest. Everything is in it. Accepting Jesus and not continually unpacking the Word of God will seriously limit the quality of your salvation life. Man, open it up, man, run. The church is equipped and ready to lead you. The church is ready to change you. The completeness of the church will set you totally free. The cross is the greatest reset in the history of mankind. The church is ready. Are you ready? You can answer, that's okay. Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. I know sometimes people, you know, you might even be thinking right now, oh, it sounds easy, you, Mark. You prepared the teaching. You're there to encourage us. But let me tell you something, it's not easy for me. My life isn't easy. You know, the more I overcome the evils of the world, guess what happens? He gets smarter and comes at me a different way. You know, the battle is never over. We just got to stay in the ring longer. We have to get a more powerful tool. We have to remember who we are. Okay, so maybe, you know, this worked last time. Now I got to, you know, cast them out. I got to cleanse my house. I have to do whatever it takes. The more we grow, the trickier the enemy gets. Greater is in than he is who in the world. So be diligent, be steadfast, seek unity, grow in your gifts, stand firm in your faith, be Christ-like, allow the Holy Spirit to move you and work in you and help you, learn about your authorities and take authority, be sensitive to the Spirit, seek the Spirit, hear the Spirit, speak in tongues and pray in tongues. You need to believe that you have access to everything already is in your treasure chest. Find out what you have and speak it and use it in the name of Jesus. The church is ready for you. You're complete. When you pursue the unity of the church, everything is activated. The unity of the church I'm talking about. You're not going to agree with everybody in the people in the church. I'm talking about the church that God readied for you at the cross. Your salvation life is active and on holy fire. God's will be in you and move through you. God will position you. He'll use you. He'll lay his anointing and his grace over you. Your cup shall runneth over with the goodness of God. So I ask, the church is ready. Are you ready? Yeah. Amen. Okay, that's my word today. But I want to say, if you guys have a Bible, mine's down there. I'll grab pastors. If you got a Bible with you today, a Bible app, online or here, hold it in your hand. That's it. Okay. And I want you to repeat this just little quick sentence after me. Put it over your heart and repeat. This is the word of God and my treasure chest. I am ready in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah.